ಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವಿರಾಜಿತಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶ್ರೀ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವಿರಾಜಿತಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶ್ರೀ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಪ್ರೇಮ್ ಸೇ ಕಹೋ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀಯದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಜಯ. ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಕುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಕುಂಡ ಗಿರಿರಾಜ ಗೋವರ್ಧನ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಗಂಗಾಮಾಯಿ ಯಮುನಾಮಾಯಿ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಭಕ್ತಿ ದೇವಿ ತುಳಸಿ ದೇವಿ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ನವದ್ವೀಪ್ ಮಾಯಾಪುರ ಧಾಮ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಪುರುಷೋತ್ತಮ ಕ್ಷೇತ್ರ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ನಿತಾಯಿ ಗೌರವ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದೇ. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬ್ಲಿ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬ್ಲಿ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬ್ಲಿ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್, ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್, ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಅಂಡ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಾಂಗ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇತ್. ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷ್ವ ಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ. ಭಗವತೀರ್ವುತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತೀ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕೀ. ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀ ನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದ ಪಕ್ಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಚರಿತಾಮೃತ ಆದಿಲೀಲಾ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 5 ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 7. ಸಂಕರ್ಷಣ ಕಾರಣತೋ ಯಶಾಯಿ ಗರ್ಭೋದಶಾಯಿ ಚ ಪಯೋಬ್ಧಿಶಾಯಿ ಶೇಷಶ್ಚ ಯಸ್ಯಾಂಶ ಕಲಾ ಸನಿತ್ಯಾ ನಂದಾಖ್ಯ ರಾಮಃ ಶರಣಂ ಮಮಾಸ್ತು. ಸಂಕರ್ಷಣ ಕಾರಣತೋ ಯಶಾಯಿ ಗರ್ಭೋದಶಾಯಿ ಚ ಪಯೋಬ್ಧಿಶಾಯಿ ಶೇಷಶ್ಚ ಯಸ್ಯಾಂಶ ಕಲಾ ಸನಿತ್ಯಾ ನಂದಾಖ್ಯ ರಾಮಃ ಶರಣಂ ಮಮಾಸ್ತು. ಸಂಕರ್ಷಣ ಕಾರಣತೋ ಯಶಾಯಿ గర్భోదశాయి చ పయోబ్ధిశాయి సంకర్షణ కారణతో యశాయి గర్భోదశాయి చ పయోబ్ధిశాయి సంకర్షణ కారణతో యశాయి గర్భోదశాయి చ పయోబ్ధిశాయి శేషశ్చ యస్యాంశ కళా సనిత్యా నందాఖ్య రామ శరణం మమాస్తు సంకర్షణ కారణతో యశాయి గర్భోదశాయి చ పయోబ్ధిశాయి శేషశ్చ యస్యాంశ కళా సనిత్యా నందాఖ్య రామ శరణం మమాస్తు సంకర్షణ కారణతో యశాయి గర్భోదశాయి చ పయోబ్ధిశాయి శేషశ్చ యస్యాంశ కళా సనిత్యా నందాఖ్య రామ శరణం మమాస్తు. సో అనౌన్స్మెంట్ హిందీ అనువాద్ భక్తివేదాంత హాల్ మే హో రా హై జో హిందీ మే సున్నా చాతే భక్తివేదాంత హాల్ జా సక్తే హై హిందీ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ ఇస్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్ ఇన్ భక్తివేదాంత హాల్ దోస్ హూ వాంట్ టు హియర్ ఇన్ హిందీ దే కెన్ గో టు భక్తివేదాంత హాల్ సో ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ ఫస్ట్ ఐ విల్ రీడ్ ద వర్డ్ టు అవర్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ సంకర్షణ మహాసంకర్షణ ఇన్ ద స్పిరిచువల్ స్కై కారణతోయశాయి కారణోదక్షాయి విష్ణు హు లైస్ ఇన్ ద కాజల్ ఓషన్ గర్భోదశాయి గర్భోదకశాయి విష్ణు who lies in the garbhodaka ocean of the universe cha and payobdishayi shirodakshayi vishnu who lies in the ocean of milk shesha sheshanaga the couch of vishnu cha and yasya whose amsha plenary portions kala and parts of the plenary portions saha he nityananda akya known as lord nityananda rama lord balaram sharanam shelter mama mai అస్తు లెట్ దర్ బి ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ మే శ్రీ నిత్యానంద రామ్ బి ద ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ మై కాన్స్టెంట్ రిమెంబరెన్స్ సంకర్షణ శేషనాగ అండ్ ద విష్ణూస్ హూ లై ఆన్ ద కారణ ఓషన్ గర్భ ఓషన్ అండ్ ఓషన్ ఆఫ్ మిల్క్ ఆర్ హిస్ ప్లేనరీ పోర్షన్స్ అండ్ ద పోర్షన్స్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ ప్లేనరీ పోర్షన్స్ Purport. Sri Swaroop Damodar Goswami has recorded this verse in his diary to offer his respectful obeisances to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. This verse also appears as the 7th of the first 14 verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadatiswa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we welcome all the devotees for this Nityananda Trayodashi festival. We are having almost the, I guess, the first festival which is opened for all the devotees after the COVID pandemic period. So a hearty welcome to all the devotees. So today I'll speak about some words about Nityananda Prabhu. I beg the blessings of all the devotees, especially His Grace Rishabhanu Prabhu, to speak a few words in glorification of Nityananda Prabhu for my own purification, the glorification of the Lord in the service of the devotees. So, regarding Nityananda Prabhu, we just read this verse from the Adilila. So this verse is composed by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, explaining the position of Nityananda Prabhu. The beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has given a series of verses in which he explains in which he offers obeisances to the spiritual masters, and he actually explains the position of the Panchatattva, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya. So he has given 5 verses describing the position of Nityananda Prabhu. Out of that, this verse is like the summary of the other 4 verses. The other 4 verses are an explanation or an elaboration of this particular verse. So this verse in one sense is it summarizes the position of Nityananda Prabhu. It is very important to first understand the position of Nityananda Prabhu before actually understanding the pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu. If we see even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, before describing the pastimes of Krishna, before the description of the pastimes of Krishna in the 10th canto, Srila Vyasadeva has gradually prepared the reader to understand the position of Lord Krishna, the first 9 cantos. So after understanding the position of Krishna in the first 9 cantos, then when a person enters into the pastimes, then one will be able to appreciate those pastimes in the proper sense. So similarly, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, especially in the Adilila, the first several chapters, he has actually devoted a significant amount of the portion to explain the position of the Panchatattva, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya. So after explaining the position, after explaining the Tattva, the reasons of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, the position of Advaita Acharya, Nityananda Prabhu, then he actually starts a description, starting from the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the various pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in relation with his devotees. So even, for example, in any field of education, suppose in the medical field, somebody is aspiring to be a cardiac surgeon. But before coming to the point of actually doing the cardiac surgery, a person has to devote many years studying various subjects. First he has to go through the schooling system, and then when he enters the MBBS, then he has to study various subjects. And then even after that, a person has to undergo training, internship, and then assist the doctor during the MD. And then a person finally is given the opportunity to perform an independent cardiac surgery. So therefore, here also in the spiritual field, before actually understanding the activities of a person, first we have to understand the tattva of the person, the position of the person. We have to understand the power of the person. So in this particular verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that Nandakya Rama Sharanam Mamastu, may Sri Nityananda Prabhu be the object of my constant remembrance. And who is this Nityananda Prabhu? Sankarshana Karana Toyashayi. Sankarshana and the Karanodakshayi Vishnu, also known as the Mahavishnu, who is lying in the causal ocean. Sankarshana, Mahavishnu, and the Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, and Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, and Sheshanaga, all these personalities are Sheshascha Yasya Amsha Kalasa Nitya. These 5 personalities, Sankarshana, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, Karanodakshayi Vishnu, and Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, they all are the plenary portions and the portions of his plenary portions. They are the Amsha, or the Amsha and Amsha of Nityananda Prabhu. And may that Nityananda Prabhu be the object of my constant remembrance. And this verse is explained in great detail when we talk about Sankarshana. Sankarshana is the part of the Chaturvyuha, the quadruple expansion, Vasudeva Sankarshana Pradyumna Aniruddha. And there are 2 quadruple expansions. One Chaturvyuha is present in the Goloka Vrindavan, and Krishna is performing pastimes in Mathura, Vrindavan, and Dwaraka. The first Chaturvyuha is present in the spiritual world of Dwaraka, where Krishna is performing pastimes along with Balram, Sankarshan, and Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. The one Sankarshan is one the first Chaturvyuha is present in the the Goloka Vrindavan, the Dwaraka part of it. And another Chaturvyuha is present in the Vaikuntha on the different sides of Lord Narayan. The second quadruple expansion are present. So there are two Sankarshans. And both these Sankarshans are the Amsha of Nityananda Prabhu, who is non-different from Balaram. And then Karanodakshai Vishnu. So Karanodakshai Vishnu, he is lying in the Karana ocean. And from the skin pores of Karanodakshai Vishnu, the different universes emanate. In fact, just the one breath of Karanodakshai Vishnu is considered to be the lifetime of Brahma. And this Karanodakshai Vishnu is the Amsha and Amsha of Nityananda Prabhu. And this Karanodakshai Vishnu, he expands as Garbhodakshai Vishnu within each particular universe. And as Garbhodakshai Vishnu, he is actually lying within the Garbhodaka water. Garbhodaka water, which is actually filling the half of the universe. And from that Garbhodakshai Vishnu's navel, a lotus flower emanates and then Brahma is born. And this Garbhodakshai Vishnu is the Amsha of the Amsha of Nityananda Prabhu. And this Garbhodakshai Vishnu expands as Kshirodakshai Vishnu. And this Kshirodakshai Vishnu is the super soul situated in the heart of every living entity. He is the Paramatma in every living entity. He is the Paramatma situated in every atom. And this abode of Kshirodakshai Vishnu is present within every universe in the form of Shweta Dweepa. In the milk ocean, Kshirodakshai Vishnu is actually lying in the milk ocean. And this Kshirodakshai Vishnu is the Amsha of the Amsha of the Amsha of Nityananda Prabhu. And the fifth personality is Sheshanaga. The Sheshanaga is the devotee incarnation of the Lord. The Sheshanaga is rendering so many services to the Lord personally. Sheshanaga is rendering service to Krishna and in all his incarnations by acting as his bedstead, by expanding in the form of the different paraphernalia of the Lord, in the form of the bed or a chair, a chamar, the mridanga. So Sheshanaga has actually reached the ultimate end of service. Shesha means one who has reached the ultimate end of service. And this Sheshanaga, in his hoods, he is actually carrying all the universes. When the beginning of the creation, Lord Brahma told the Ananta Sheshanaga, "You please perform the service of actually carrying the universe, hold the universe." And Sheshanaga asked that, "How long should I hold the universe?" Because when you keep holding a weight, after some time, you feel the increasing burden of that weight. So Shesha asked that, "How long should I actually keep holding this weight of the universe?" So Brahma said that you start glorifying the Supreme Lord. And when the glories of the Lord come to an end, at that time you can actually keep the universe. Till that time you can hold the universe. So Brahma is a very intelligent manager. In the sense, he didn't want, instead of directly saying that you keep holding the universe for the rest of the time, he said that You hold the universe till the glories of the Lord come to an end. Because he knows that one can never complete the glories of the Supreme Lord. And also, Brahma knew, when a person keeps holding something, especially universe is so heavy actually, one will feel the burden of the universe. But Brahma said that when you become absorbed in glorifying the Supreme Lord, you will not feel that burden of the universe. So Brahma also, because in our life also, when you are actually performing certain responsibility, as time progresses, we feel, oh, how long should I keep performing these duties? One becomes tired of those certain responsibilities and duties. And at a particular point, we may become frustrated because they don't know anything. They don't have a higher purpose in life. But when a person includes the glorification of the Supreme Lord, when a person includes the service of Krishna and the glories of the Lord in one's life, then even though the burden of the responsibilities they may increase and they may actually they may cause a great weight in the life of the person, but the glories of the Supreme Lord, that will make the person feel the weight of the responsibilities to be like a mustard seed. Because that is why Ananta Sesha, although he was actually holding the universes, and when he started glorifying the Supreme Lord, the weight of the universes became like a mustard seed. Shuddhaya Shantaya Namasva Nishtaya Manasyapartam Vilasadvayaya. The Prachetas are praying that when a person fixes one's mind on the Supreme Lord, then the dualities of the world become meaningless. So the Lord Shesha, because he fixed his mind in the glorification of the Supreme Lord, he found the weight of the universes to be like a mustard seed. So these five personalities, Sankarshana, Karunodakshai Vishnu, Garbodakshai Vishnu, Kshirodakshai Vishnu and Sheshanaga, they are the expansions and expansions of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So, Nityananda Prabhu, he serves Lord Krishna in so many different ways. When Lord Krishna appeared as Lord Ram, Nityananda Prabhu appeared as Lakshman. And as Lakshman, he served Lord Ram in a very loyal way. Lord Ram's way, life was actually filled with so many difficulties. Lakshman had to execute many difficult instructions of Lord Ram. Like he had to take Sita Devi to the ashram of Valmiki Rishi. Lakshman had to hear the heavy chastisement of Sita Devi, and Lakshman had to go and in search of Lord Ram. So Lakshman had to perform many difficult decisions. But Lakshman served the orders of Lord Ram as a loyal servant. And the same Balramji, in the Krishna Leela, he appeared as Balaram in his original form. And he served Lord Krishna as an elder brother. Because in the previous incarnation, as an younger brother, he had to loyally execute the orders of Lord Ram. So therefore, in the next incarnation, he desired to appear as an elder brother. And as an elder brother, he served Lord Krishna in many different ways as a transcendental separatist. Because in different pastimes of Krishna, Lord Balaram took a stance opposite to that of Krishna. Krishna supported Bhima, but Balaramji supported Duryodhan. Krishna wanted Subhadra to get married to Arjuna, but Balaramji wanted Subhadra to get married to Duryodhan. In the story of Shyamantaka Jewel, even Balaramji became unhappy with Krishna, and he exhibited his displeasure towards Krishna, and then he went to Mithila, and during that time only he taught the art of fighting with the mace to Duryodhan. So even Balaramji appeared to have misunderstood Krishna. That's how the pastime is seen. So Balaramji exhibited the mood of a transcendental separatist. He appeared to exhibit a separate interest from that of Krishna. Kapiladev, in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he talks about bhakti in the three modes of nature. And one common characteristic he mentions about all the three, bhakti in sattva-guna, rajo-guna and tamo-guna, one common characteristic in all the three types of bhakti is that a devotee has a separate interest apart from the interest to please the Supreme Lord. So Balaramji appeared to exhibit a separate interest, but he was a transcendental separatist. And the bhakti in the three modes, they talk about the separatist in the three gunas, sattva guna, rajo guna and tamo guna. But Balaramji exhibited mood of a transcendental separatist. Just like in a malpuva, we add black pepper. The black pepper's taste is completely different from the taste of the malpuva, but it actually enhances the taste of the malpuva. Camphor is added in the sweet rice. Its taste is different from sweet rice, but actually it enhances the taste of the sweet rice. So Balaramji, by acting as a transcendental separatist, he actually enhanced the sweetness. He created excitement in the pastimes of Krishna. And when Balaramji appeared as Nityananda Prabhu displayed his servitude to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in such extreme ways which nobody can even imagine. He exhibited the mood of a transcendental extremist, in the sense that Nityananda Prabhu, he gave mercy to the most fallen people, Jagai and Madai, which people would, by seeing Jagai and Madai, people would want to take bath in the Ganges. But Nityananda Prabhu gave mercy to Jagai and Madai. And Nityananda Prabhu, sometimes when he would perform Sankirtan, the Sankirtan would go non-stop for 72 hours at a stretch. He would perform Sankirtan with some small little boys also, and he would dance in the tip of the leaves of the trees. So that is how the description comes in Chaitanya Bhagavata. So Nityananda Prabhu, he actually displayed such unimaginable, extreme ways of actually serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In that way, but in all the three moods, whether as a Lakshman or as a Balaram or as a Nityananda Prabhu, he remains as a Shesha. That means everything is for Krishna's enjoyment, and whatever is only left over is for my enjoyment. I will accept it. That is the position of a Shesha. In all the three forms, he displayed the mood of a Shesha. Shesha means one who has reached the ultimate end of servitude to Krishna. So Kaviraj Goswami says that Yeta Murti Beda Kari Krishna Seva Kare Krishnera Sheshata Paya Shesha Nama Dare. He has attained the ultimate end of servitude to Krishna, therefore he is called Shesha. In that way, he takes many forms for the service of Krishna. So therefore, Nityananda Prabhu is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. So let us see some incidents from Chaitanya Charitamrita about the importance of having faith in Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he actually explains the how Nityananda Prabhu showed mercy to him. And before that, he talks about the importance of having faith in Nityananda Prabhu. So there is one associate of Nityananda Prabhu called as Meenaketana Ramdas. So Meenaketana Ramdas, he would come to the village of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and he would perform such sankirtan, and people would be mesmerized by his sankirtan. Just like Nityananda Prabhu displayed his madness, mad state of love on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Meenaketana Ramdas, following the footsteps of Nityananda Prabhu, he also exhibited transcendental madness, being the associate of Nityananda Prabhu. So Meenaketana Ramdas, sometimes he would actually climb upon the shoulder of someone who would be offering obeisances. Somebody is just offering obeisances. Just imagine somebody just suddenly climbs upon him. And sometimes suddenly he would suddenly slap somebody with a flute. And when Meenaketana Ramdas, when he would be in ecstasy, tears would actually start flowing from his eyes. And when somebody would see the eyes of Meenaketana Ramdas, and that person would start crying. And sometimes when he would display the symptoms of ecstasy, and those ecstatic symptoms would appear like the kadamba flowers. And on some parts of the body, another ecstatic symptom, some part of the body would get elongated and he would start trembling sometime. So in this way, Meenaketana Ramdas displayed ecstatic symptoms, and suddenly he would start shouting the names of Nityananda Prabhu and people would be struck with wonder. So once he came to the house of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's brother, Gunaranava Mishra, he was worshipping the deities. But he saw Meenaketana Ramdas, but he did not show respect to Meenaketana Ramdas. And Meenaketana Ramdas, he told that, oh, here is the second Romaharishana Sutta. Here is the second Romaharishana Sutta. Because Meenaketana Ramdas, he did not personally get offended because Gunaranava Mishra did not respect him. Because he felt that Gunaranava Mishra did not respect Nityananda Prabhu, because Meenaketana Ramdas is an associate of Nityananda Prabhu. He could understand that Gunaranava Mishra, although he is the devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he had faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he had only a glimmer of faith on Nityananda Prabhu. Understanding that, Meenaketana Ramdas said that, oh, he is a second Romaharishan Sutta. And then Meenaketana Ramdas went away, and Kaviraj Goswami, he told Gunaranava Mishra, please understand that these two brothers, Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are actually one soul but in two bodies. They are actually non-different from each other. If you have faith in one but disrespect the other, your logic is like a half-hen logic. It is better to be an atheist and not accept both these personalities instead of accepting one personality and rejecting the other personality. So what is this half hen logic? So once there was a man who wanted to sell a hen in the market. And he thought that if I say that this is a very ancient hen coming from a grandfather, so it is a very old hen, maybe I would get a very good price in the market. So he told that, oh, this is my ancestral hen. This is a old hen. Like that he actually announced in the market. But actually nobody came forward to buy a old hen. So he tried selling the hen for many days, but he couldn't get any buyers for a good price. And then later he was consulting somebody. Then he said, the other person said that because you are actually giving an advertisement that this is a old ancestral hen, therefore people are not coming forward to give a good price to buy this hen. You must actually announce that this is a very young hen, then people will come and give a good price. But then he thought that for so many days I have actually advertised this hen as an old hen. Suddenly if I advertise this hen as a young hen, who will actually come to buy this hen? So then therefore he made up his mind. He thought that maybe I will announce it as, for this hen is a half old, half young hen. So that I don't speak something which is completely contradictory to what I spoke previously. So he started announcing it is a half old, half young hen. But again, because it's such a confusing statement, nobody came forward to buy. And this is the half hen logic. So it's because of the half hen logic, like sometimes the people accept the impersonal feature of the absolute truth, but they completely reject the fact that the absolute truth is also a person with different energies. So in that sense, they accept only one aspect of the absolute truth. Or sometimes people accept Lord Krishna, but not Lord Balaram. They may accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but not Nityananda Prabhu. Or one may accept Nityananda Prabhu, but not Lord Chaitanya. Or one may accept the Bhagavan, but not show proper respect to the devotees. Or one may accept the Supreme Lord, but not accept the spiritual master. Or one may accept Srila Prabhupada, but not accept Srila Prabhupada's disciples. So all these are different aspects of the half-hen logic. So therefore, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami chastised his brother that you are accepting Lord Chaitanya, but you are not accepting Nityananda Prabhu. But these two personalities are like, they are non-different from each other. They are one soul, but in two bodies, like that he mentioned. So on that day night, Nityananda Prabhu appeared in the dream of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And he was happy because Kaviraj Goswami chastised his brother. And Nityananda Prabhu told Kaviraj Goswami, you must go to Vrindavan. He gave this order to Kaviraj Goswami to go to Vrindavan. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita being inspired by Nityananda Prabhu. So if we see the personality of Nityananda Prabhu, Nityananda Prabhu has played, because of his mercy, we have got Chaitanya Charitamrita because Kaviraj Goswami was inspired by Nityananda Prabhu. And Chaitanya Bhagavat was written by Vrindavan Das Thakur And Vrindavan Das Thakur was also inspired to write Chaitanya Bhagavat by Nityananda Prabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu is the person who actually gave his mercy to Raghunath Das Goswami, who told Raghunath Das Goswami to serve the Vaishnavas. And because of the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, Raghunath Das Goswami could attain the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu, because of Nityananda Prabhu only, Nityananda Prabhu also bestowed mercy upon Jiva Goswami. When Jiva Goswami came to Navadvip, and Nityananda Prabhu showed a tour of Navadvip to Jiva Goswami, and Nityananda Prabhu was the one who actually gave instruction to Jiva Goswami to go to Vrindavan. And Nityananda Prabhu is the one who actually gave mercy to Jagai and Madai. We'll also discuss that a little later. So in that way, we see that the hand of Nityananda Prabhu in so many personalities, in so many exalted personalities, as well as personalities like Jagai and Madai. So, and another actually pastime which shows the importance of having faith in Nityananda Prabhu is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's interaction with Srivas Thakur. So Nityananda Prabhu was staying in the house of Srivas Thakur, and Nityananda Prabhu considered himself as the child of Srivas Thakur and Malini Devi, and Nityananda Prabhu would not eat with his own hand. Rather, Malini Devi affectionately fed him like her own son. So one day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to test Srivas Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, "Why are you allowing this avadhuta Nityananda Prabhu to stay in your house?" Because you do not know the background of Nityananda Prabhu, from which caste he is coming from or which family he is coming from. How can you allow somebody who is a stranger, how can you allow him to stay in your house? And just to protect the prestige of your family, you should not actually allow Nityananda Prabhu to stay in your house. So at that time, Srivas Thakur said that, actually, I have so much of faith in Nityananda Prabhu. This Nityananda Prabhu is non-different from you. Even if Nityananda Prabhu held a pot of wine, even if Nityananda Prabhu is seen to associate with the prostitutes, even then, I would not actually fail to actually serve Nityananda Prabhu. So Srivas Thakur exhibited such complete conviction in Nityananda Prabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this answer from Srivas Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so happy, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that even if Lakshmi Devi happened to beg at any time, you would not face poverty. And even the cats and dogs in the house of Srivas Thakur would have unflinching faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed Srivas Thakur when he saw the faith exhibited by Srivas Thakur in Nityananda Prabhu. So we saw two episodes so far about the importance of faith in Nityananda Prabhu, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's interaction with Gunaranava Mishra, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's interaction with Srivas Thakur. So His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, when he was talking about the this aspect of faith, he said that faith is the foundation of one's spiritual life. When we talk about the advancement in bhakti, the different stages of bhakti, all the nine stages of bhakti, starting from, although only the first stage is called as Shraddha, or the later stages are called by sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, nishta, anartha nivritti, etc. But all the nine stages are nothing but the different stages of faith. The prema bhakti is the highest stage of the development of faith. So the faith is the foundation of spiritual life, and faith is something which transports our consciousness beyond the limitations and relativities of the world, and that is called faith. So faith can transport our consciousness from the material world to the spiritual world. So the greatest loss in our life is not the loss of the wealth, or it is not the loss of our health. It is not the loss of the, say, or prestige or something. The greatest loss in our life is the loss of faith. And the greatest service you can perform to another person is to act and speak in such a way that others' faith get enhanced. And the greatest disservice one can perform to the another person is to act, speak and behave in such a way that others' faith in the process of bhakti gets challenged, or a person gets reduced, or others start doubting the process of bhakti. So that is the importance of faith. And especially we are talking about the importance of faith in the personality of Nityananda Prabhu, especially in relation to the above two pastimes. And another story, when we talk about the importance of faith in Nityananda Prabhu, we can see the personality of Shivananda Sen, how he exhibited faith in Nityananda Prabhu. So Shivananda Sen, he would perform the service of taking the devotees from Bengal to Puri. He would actually arrange the accommodations of the devotees on the way, their prasadam arrangements. He would actually pay the different toll booths to take them. And once what happened, Nityananda Prabhu and others were actually waiting at a particular place. And Nityananda Prabhu, the Shivananda Sen, at that time he became delayed to come there and then give the proper accommodation to Nityananda Prabhu and the devotees. He got little delayed in paying some toll booths. So at that time, Nityananda Prabhu, he displayed hunger, and he became upset. And because he had not obtained a place to stay, he said that he started chastising Shivananda Sen with ill names, and then he cursed. He said that, "I curse that the sons of Shivananda Sen will die." So when Shivananda Sen's wife heard this curse of Nityananda Prabhu, she started crying actually. Nityananda Prabhu cursed her sons to die. But Shivananda Sen, he told his wife that, for the inconvenience I have caused to Nityananda Prabhu, we deserve that our sons to die. Because I caused inconvenience to Nityananda Prabhu. I don't mind if this is the reaction. Actually, I deserve much more. But don't be angry. Don't be upset. And Shivananda replied that, "Let my three sons die for all the inconvenience we have caused Nityananda Prabhu." And then Shivananda Sen went to Nityananda Prabhu. And then when he went to Nityananda Prabhu, he kicked at Shivananda Sen. And Shivananda Sen, he was so happy to be kicked by Nityananda Prabhu. And he didn't mind, and he just gave the suitable residence to Nityananda Prabhu to stay. And then he touched the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu, And then he told Nityananda Prabhu, today you have accepted me as your servant. And you have punished me for my offense. So you are chastising me is your causeless mercy. Who within the three worlds can understand your real character? In fact, the dust of your lotus feet is unobtainable even for Lord Brahma. But you have actually given that, you have given the dust, you have actually, with that lotus feet, you have touched my fallen body. Aji mora safala haila janma kula karma. Aji painu Krishna bhakti artha kama dharma. So today my birth, my family and my activities have all become successful. And today I have achieved the fulfillment of religious principles, economic development, satisfaction of the senses, and ultimately devotional service to Lord Krishna. So Shivananda Sen displayed such faith in Nityananda Prabhu. So when a person, the spiritual authority, so when they when they speak certain instructions which are, say, clearly in line with the Shastra, it is not difficult to put faith in the words of such a personality. So in that sense, following the words of a personality, when it is clearly in line with the Shastra, it is not difficult to put faith. But sometimes, when a person may speak something, but the desire of the person can be opposite to what he speaks. So at that time, to understand the inner desire of the person and to actually follow that inner desire of the person while showing external disobedience to the words of the person, that is much more difficult. Just like Krishna, when the gopis came to meet Krishna in the forest, and the gopis heard the flute sound of Krishna, in the middle of the night they performed the greatest sacrifice and they took the greatest risk in their life, and they came in the middle of the night to the forest. And when they came there, to their utter surprise, Krishna told them that, I think that you have come to the forest for sightseeing, and I hope you have actually seen the forest properly, and now you must return to your houses, and as a woman, your duty is to perform your services as a wife, as a mother, that is your service, and you must go back. So Krishna told these words. But actually the inner desire of Krishna was that Krishna did not want the gopis to go back. Because Krishna wanted to perform the Rasa Leela with them. But the gopis connected with the inner desire of Krishna, although they showed, by showing their external disobedience to the words of Krishna. So in that way, to connect with the will of a person, which when it is especially different from the words of a person, it is more difficult. And even more difficult is that when a person in the spiritual authority, when they display certain whimsical behavior, so at that time, to still keep having faith in that spiritual authority, that will be the highest challenge to one's faith. That will be the highest challenge to one's faith. It's like Vamanadev punished Bali Maharaj in front of everyone by arresting with the Varuna Pasha. And here Nityananda Prabhu, he exhibited such, it's apparently a whimsical behavior, just because there was some delay in the accommodation, Nityananda Prabhu said that, I curse the sons of Shivananda Sen to die. it appears like a completely a whimsical behavior of showing some disproportionate anger to a small mistake actually. But even when that whimsical behavior, the transcendental whimsical behavior was shown by Nityananda Prabhu, Shivananda Sen displayed such faith in Nityananda Prabhu that he considered that today my life has become successful. So from these personalities we can understand Kaviraj Goswami, Srivast Thakur, Shivananda Sen. So we can understand the importance of having faith in Nityananda Prabhu. So even in that episode when Nityananda Prabhu showed the transcendental whimsical behavior, the nephew of Shivananda Sen, Srikanta Sen, he got bewildered. And he actually separated himself from that yatra party and then he went ahead to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he came to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he offered obeisances without removing his uttariya. Normally, it was a tradition that when you come to meet a great personality, you remove your upper cloth and offer obeisances to the person. Govinda immediately tried to correct Srikanta Sen, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, no, don't say anything to him because he has disturbed the state of mind. Because Nityananda Prabhu, he is actually absorbed in the madness of love towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the sign of prema is that the activities of a person in the state of prema is that you cannot understand the activities of a person with your logic. Vaishnavera kriya mudra vijnahe nabojaya. Especially this verse refers to a Vaishnava in the stage of prema. So therefore Srikanta Sen became bewildered. So we see Shivananda Sen's faith in the personality of Nityananda Prabhu. And let us see another personality who displayed such faith in Nityananda Prabhu. That is Vrindavan Das Thakur. So Vrindavan Das Thakur, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, he says that without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, no one can achieve Radha Krishna. Therefore, tightly catch hold of Nitai's lotus feet. Liberated souls are eligible to drown in the ocean of Sri Gaura's service under the guidance of Sri Nityananda. And he said that, like, some people may consider Lord Nityananda to be a sannyasi. Some people may consider him a devotee. Some may consider him as a jnani. And they may say whatever they like. But even if Nityananda was a most insignificant servant of Lord Chaitanya, still I would keep his lotus feet in my heart. While considering him my eternal worshipable Lord. And then he said, Eta parihare voi papi ninda kare tabe lati marontara shirera upare. I kick the head of any sinful person who disregards the glories of Lord Nityananda and dares to criticize Lord Nityananda. So here, Vrindavan Das Thakur exhibits his transcendental anger when he says that I kick at the head of a person who actually criticizes Nityananda Prabhu. So how do we understand a Vaishnava wanting to say that I want to kick at the head of a person? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained so beautifully. He says that in order to permanently stop the continual irreverent attitude towards the Supreme Lord by these hellish kind of people who enviously criticize Nityananda Prabhu, and to render these people eternal benefit, Vrindavan Das Thakur is ready to kick at them. And when Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying that I want to kick at those people, by this statement of Vrindavan Das Thakur, the transcendental goddess Saraswati, who entered within the mouth of Vrindavan Das Thakur, by entering the mouth of Vrindavan Das Thakur, she spoke this statement. And by this statement, the transcendental goddess Saraswati is displaying her firm attachment to Nityananda Prabhu. And Vrindavan Das Thakur, by this statement, although personalities like Vrindavan Das Thakur, they are ever detached from those who are extremely uninterested in their own welfare, although they are ever detached from those people who are determined to run towards hell, and although they are ever detached from those who are ignorant of the truth regarding Nityananda Prabhu, but still they are selflessly and causelessly merciful towards these people who actually criticize Nityananda Prabhu when they say that I kick at the head of those people with my foot. So therefore, this is the Vrindavan Das Thakur's great mercy towards such people. And when Vaishnavas like Vrindavan Das Thakur kick at those people who don't have faith in Nityananda Prabhu, if even one drop of the dust of the such devotees like Vrindavan Das Thakur falls on such people, they will get such auspiciousness that their anartha nivritti will be immediately done. In fact, following the footsteps of Vrindavan Das Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, also being the representative of Nityananda Prabhu, he also exhibited this mood of transcendental kicking. He said that, I want to kick at the scientists. He said, this kick of Prabhupada wanting to kick at the scientists is nothing but the being the representative of Nityananda Prabhu. So, of course, he did not literally kick for the sake of preaching sake. But the point is that he spoke like that, in the mood of Nityananda Prabhu, in the mood of Vrindavan Das Thakur. So, and another beautiful pastime in regards to Nityananda Prabhu, there's a very sweet interaction between Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya. Once Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya, they were sitting together and taking prasadam in Jagannath Puri. So Advaita Acharya told Nityananda Prabhu, so they both actually engaged in mock fighting. So Advaita Acharya said that, I am sitting in line with an unknown mendicant. I don't know from which caste this personality is coming from. I don't know what is the background of this person. Nowadays there is so much of people try to divide based on the caste system, this one. But what I am trying to say is like, I don't know the background. Advaita Acharya is saying that, I don't know background of this person. So maybe I'll get contaminated by taking prasadam by sitting along with this person. So in the Vedic culture, there is a principle of what is called as saha bhojana. Because later people try to, as time progressed, people try to those people from the lower section of the society, they would try to put down them by saying that I cannot sit with you, like that, in a very disrespectful way. But originally there was also the principle of saha bhojan was there. Like for example, in the Bhagavatam, Daksha Prajapati cursed Lord Shiva that, I curse you that you cannot actually take the offerings along with the other devatas. So Prabhupada there talks about the principle of saha bhojan. When you take food with other people who have a materialistic mindset, you also get contaminated by the mindset of those people. It is not only the food cooked by people with a materialistic mindset, But when you also take food along with the people with a materialistic mindset, you can also get contaminated by their mindset. So Advaita Acharya, understanding this principle of Sahabhojan, he says that, I don't know from whom, I don't know the background of Nityananda Prabhu. So, I don't know what kind of destination is awaiting me by taking prasadam along with him. And according to the Shastras, there is no discrepancy in a sannyasi's eating at another's house. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although Shastras say like that, but still Chaitanya Mahaprabhu followed certain principles as a sannyasi. He was strict in regards to from whom he would eat actually. But Advaita Acharya is saying that there is no discrepancy in a sannyasi is eating at another's house. But for a householder brahmana, this kind of eating is faulty. And it is not proper for the householders to dine with birth, family, character and behavior are unknown. And then when Advaita Acharya spoke like that, Nityananda Prabhu replied that you are a teacher of impersonal monism. And the conclusion of monism is a hindrance to pure devotional service. And by taking prasadam by sitting along with you, I don't know how my mind will become contaminated by this monistic philosophy. And of course, Prabhupada gives a very detailed purport here about what is monism. So essentially, the principle of Sahabhojan, there are very subtle laws in this world because most people operate in the grass level. One may not be aware of the subtle laws of the world. The subtle laws of the world is that one's mindset become affected in the place where a person eats the food or in the with whom a person is eating the food. One's mindset becomes affected by eating the food cooked by a person with a certain mindset. These are all subtle laws of the world. So Nityananda Prabhu is saying that by taking prasadam along with you, my mind may get affected by this monistic philosophy. So when Nityananda Prabhu spoke like that, and then he said that you are such a monist, and now I am eating besides you, I don't know how my mind will be affected in this way. Therefore, Prabhupada quotes that dadati pratigrihnati guhyamakyati prachyati bhungte bojayate chaiva. So, bhungte bojayate indicate that one should eat with the devotees. So, actually, this pastime, what is happening, the interaction between Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu, they are actually criticizing each other. But using the device of criticism, they are actually indirectly glorifying them. They are indirectly glorifying. Actually, Advaita Acharya, although he is called as Advaita Acharya, he actually preached pure devotional service. Advaita Acharya, when you would read a particular verse from Bhagavad Gita, he would try to see every verse from the Gita in line with the pure devotional service. Once he was reading Gita, and he came to the verse, Sarvata Pani Padam Tad Sarvatokshi Shiro Mukam Sarvata Shrutimal Loke Sarvamavritya Tishtati. The 13th chapter of the Gita, he was wondering, like, how can this verse refer to pure devotional service? And he couldn't understand. He fasted for many days. So at that time, the Lord came and revealed to him that how this verse refers to pure devotional service. And Advaita Acharya, just to be accepted as a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually preached the Mayavad philosophy so that in order to be chastised by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always respect Advaita Acharya. So Advaita Acharya is a completely devoted to pure devotional service. So Shri Radha Gopinan Bhagwan ki jai. So although Nityananda Prabhu is actually apparently criticizing Advaita Acharya that you are a monist, but actually he is indirectly praising Advaita Acharya. And this is called as Vyaja Stuti. Vyaja Stuti means using a device of criticism, you actually praise that person. Rupa Goswami says that, do not go to the bank of Yamuna, do not go to Keshi Ghat, where there is the threefold bending form of Radha Govinda, Radha Krishna. If you see that form, you will lose attraction to all family, wealth, relatives. So apparently he is criticizing, but actually he is glorifying the Lord. And opposite to that, sometimes some people may be apparently glorifying you, but actually it could be a criticism. Like Prithu Maharaj told Suta Magadhan Vandi, he said that if some person engages the followers in praising him, when he has not displayed those qualities, and when that master is actually taking pleasure in the praise of those followers, he is actually a fool, because actually when a person is not having those qualities and others are praising, they are actually indirectly criticizing him. But not understanding the criticism, one is actually thinking that these people are praising him. So here, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya, they are actually using the Vyaja Stuti, they are actually glorifying each other. But within the sweet pastime, within the sweet interaction between these highly elevated personalities, Prabhupada, in his purport, he is giving lessons which is important for us. He is talking about the monastic philosophy. He talks about the principle of sahabhojan. He talks about the principle of taking prasadam cooked by devotees, with the devotees. So these principles are important for us as a sadhakas. So while when this very elevated spiritual exchange is going on, he is giving a siddhanta, sadachar aspects which are important for us as a sadhakas. So sometimes acharyas, few weeks back, I was talking about Vishnu Chakotipad. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is speaking about different types of yoga, Varnashram Dharma, three modes, sometimes acharyas like Vishnu Chakotipad, suddenly in some purports, he brings out certain rasa aspects when Krishna is talking about different philosophies. It's like sometimes you are eating, say, kurmura. Kurmura is a simple food. But suddenly in some kurmura you get some in cashew nut, badam and some dry fruits. So then you say, oh, then just give me those dry fruits. So these rasa aspects of Vishnu Chakotipad's purports are like the dry fruits in the midst of the kurmura. In the midst of the tattva aspects, in the midst of the siddhanta, he brings out the rasa aspects. And here in this sweet pastime, where this highly elevated devotees, Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu, when they are having such sweet exchanges, where they are mocking each other, Srila Prabhupada is bringing that some siddhanta, sadachar and the tattva aspects in his purports. And in that way, the acharyas, sometimes in the midst of the siddhanta, they bring out the rasa in the form of the dry fruits. Or in the midst of the rasa aspects of the pastime, they bring out the siddhanta, which is important for us as a sadhakas. And talking about certain few childhood pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu. So Nityananda Prabhu, when he was born in Ekachakra, in his childhood, he would actually perform dramas with his different friends in Ekachakra. And when he would perform dramas, he would become so immersed in the particular role that people would be wondering, how do you know actually the dialogues and mood of this particular role? And Nityananda Prabhu would give such an answer, people would get bewildered. I know all these roles. I was there in these pastimes. I am actually Lakshman. I am Balaram. Like that, he would give answers. And once there was a drama of Ramayana where Nityananda Prabhu was acting as a Lakshman. And as Lakshman, he became unconscious. And he became so unconscious, and as if it appeared that as if he was dead only, there was no symptom of consciousness. And people tried to wake him up, and they put great effort, they tried for so many hours, but he didn't get up only. And then everyone started crying, and then one person came and asked that what was going on, and when did he become unconscious. They said Nityananda Prabhu was performing this drama of Ramayana, and in the fight with Ravana, then Lakshman became unconscious. So then he said, oh, after this particular scene, Hanuman is supposed to bring the Sanjeevani Parvat, and he is supposed to revive Lakshman. So because that personality has not come, therefore he is continuing to be in unconscious state. So then that particular devotee or that particular person was, he forgot or something, then he was brought. And when he performed that role, then Nityananda Prabhu, he actually came to consciousness, he got up. So we can see, like Prabhupada says in one purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, regarding dramas, he says that dramas should be enacted by pure devotees. He says in one purport. Just like cooking also. In the sense, pure devotees means people who have pure devotees as the goal, pure devotional service as a goal. Like when people who cook the food, when they are devotees, then the devotional mood is actually infused in that particular food. So similarly, when the devotees enact the dramas, they understand the mood of the character and they can enter into the mood of the particular character. In fact, there is one place I visited in South India. That's a very beautiful story of Kaishika Mahatmya. I will not go into the details of the story, but on every year, on that particular Ekadashi, so there is that story connected with that Ekadashi, people in that village, they would actually perform the drama. And before they perform the drama, those who are going to act in the drama, they observe a certain vrata, they observe certain austerity for a period of a few weeks or a month, they observing certain regulations, certain vrata, and then they would perform the drama on that particular Ekadashi. So in that sense, just like we prepare our consciousness, we'll cooking the food. So I saw that even in that particular, before performing the drama, so in order to know that the drama have the proper effect on the people, that they were trying to prepare their consciousness by having a certain, observing a certain vrata. So therefore, like Nityananda Prabhu, he became so absorbed in that role that only after that, the next scene of Hanumanji bringing that Sanjeevani Parvat, then he actually got up. One devotee was sharing that there was a person like who was acting in a particular role as Alauddin Khilji. So if to act in that role, like he went so deep into that role, all the time thinking about that particular person of Alauddin Khilji. So after that movie was made, still he didn't come out of that particular role. He was still in that particular role and he had to undergo a psychiatric treatment in order to come out of that role. So here we see the material world, people get immersed in, they're already in some intoxicated state of identifying with the body, and then they go into another intoxicated state by identifying with something else. But here Nityananda Prabhu is exhibiting such a transcendental absorption that he literally entered in that role, and then it took great effort to come to bring him actually to consciousness. And also we see when Nityananda Prabhu, when he came to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had actually appeared, and he wanted how I can actually leave the, he wanted to know how I can leave this Eka Chakra and go and take part in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Then by his arrangement, he arranged for a sannyasi to come to Eka Chakra. And this sannyasi came to Eka Chakra, and Hadai Pandit and Padmavati, the parents of Nityananda Prabhu, and they were serving the sannyasi with great respect, and Hadai Pandit said that, whatever you wish, I'm ready to do that. Please tell me, what do you want? How I can satisfy you? And he didn't expect in his mind that the sannyasi would ask for his son. And he said that, please give me your son as an assistant in my travel to the holy places. When Hadai Pandit heard that, it was like a thunderbolt upon his head. And because for Hadai Pandit and Padmavati, Nityananda Prabhu was their life and soul. And not only for them, for the whole village of Eka Chakra, it was Nityananda Prabhu was their life and soul. And at that time, like when a person goes with a sannyasi to Anatirtha Yatra, you are no more in contact with that particular person. There is no communication. There is no email or WhatsApp or no communication at all, actually. It is like practically like losing that particular son. So what we can see here is that, and Hadai Pandit, ultimately true to his word, he allowed Nityananda Prabhu to go. So we see, like when the Lord appears in a particular pastime, people who are close to him, they undergo great sacrifices. Whether it is Vasudev and Devaki, or Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, or Hadai Pandit and Padmavati, those who are close to the Lord, they perform great sacrifices in order to make the Lord appear in this particular world. So that was the sacrifice performed by Hadai Pandit and Padmavati. And another beautiful pastime we can see in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's interaction with Nityananda Prabhu. Once when all the devotees came to Jagannath Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving send-off to all the devotees. So at that time he was meeting Nityananda Prabhu, and he told Nityananda Prabhu, do not come to Jagannath Puri every year, but stay in Bengal and fulfill my desire. Prabhupada gives such a beautiful purport here. He says that to come to Jagannath Puri and to take darshan of Lord Jagannath is a great fortune. But a greater fortune is to actually to execute the mission of the Supreme Lord. So one who is faithful servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must execute his order even if one has to sacrifice going to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Jagannath there. In other words, it is a greater fortune to carry out Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order than to satisfy one's senses by seeing Lord Jagannath. Because sometimes we may just end up going to Yatra every few months, actually. Like Prabhupada says in one purport that going to holy places is also a kind of a maya. Especially when a person leaves behind one's services and goes to holy places. So Prabhupada is saying here that it's a greater fortune to carry out Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order than to satisfy one's senses by seeing Lord Jagannath. So therefore, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that you can perform a task which even I cannot do. And but for you, I cannot find anyone in Gauda Desha who can fulfill my mission there. We see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed mercy to personalities like Prakashanand Saraswati, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Ramananda Rai, such elevated personalities. Yeah, like they are all great scholars and very elevated personalities. But it was Nityananda Prabhu who showed his mercy to personalities like Jagai and Madai. He showed mercy to the masses of people. In that way, Nityananda Prabhu, he complimented Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's purpose. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he also traveled throughout South India. He also gave his mercy to the masses of people. But Nityananda Prabhu's unique service is that he showed mercy to such fallen people like Jagai and Madai. And then Prabhupada says here, if one is true to Gauranitai service in the disciplic succession, he can even excel Nityananda Prabhu's service, and this is the process of disciplic succession. And Nityananda Prabhu delivered Jagai and Madai, but a servant of Nityananda Prabhu by his grace can deliver thousands of Jagais and Madais. In the Western world, all over the world, he says. So, and also we can see here that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by saying that you can perform a task which even I cannot do, by that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving credit to Nityananda Prabhu. The mood of the Supreme Lord is that he wants to give credit to the devotee. And in response, the devotee gives complete credit to the Lord. Krishna gave complete credit to Arjuna for winning the battle. But Arjuna gave his full credit to Krishna. In the first canto, 15th chapter, Arjuna, after the disappearance of Krishna, Arjuna gave full credit to Krishna. But Krishna gave complete credit to Arjuna. So here, So Nityananda Prabhu replied that Achintya Shaktyekara Tumi Tahara Gatana Ekaraha Seikari Nahika Niyama. By your inconceivable energy, you can do whatever you like, and whatever you make me do, I do without restriction. So in this way, Nityananda Prabhu agreed to be the instrument of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he gave full credit to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this exchange between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, we can see the relationship between the Supreme Lord and the devotee. And when we talk about Nityananda Prabhu's mercy towards especially Jagai and Madai, so when we see the extent of mercy displayed by Nityananda Prabhu towards Jagai and Madai, so in the Chaitanya Bhagavata, it's explained that the sins which Jagai and Madai committed, it's explained that Nityananda Prabhu, when he saw Jagai and Madai, when he asked that who are these personalities, at that time those residents of Navadvip, they said that like there is no sin that these two have not committed. And they plunder, steal, drink wine and eat meat. And they said, Pataki Tarite Prabhu Kaila Avatara Yemata Pataki Kota Pai Bena Ara. When Nityananda Prabhu heard about the character of Jagai and Madai, Nityananda Prabhu spoke this verse. Nityananda Prabhu said that the Lord has incarnated to deliver the sinful. And where will he find such sinners as these persons? So, Pataka refers to Patayati Ado Gamayati Dushkriya Karinamiti. Sinful activities activate that result in degradation and improper activities. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in this purport, he talks about different types of sinful activities. He actually writes a mini thesis on the nature of sinful activities. And he says that sinful activities are called as Atipataka, Mahapataka, Anupataka, Upapataka, Jati Bramshakara, சங்கரீகரண அபாத்திரிகாரண மலாவக அண்ட் பிரகீர்ணக அண்ட் ஈச் ஆஃப் தீஸ் டிஃபரெண்ட் டைப்ஸ் ஆஃப் சின்ஃபுல் ஆக்டிவிட்டீஸ் ஹவ் டெஃபினேஷன் அண்ட் தேர் ஆர் மல்டிபிள் சப் கேட்டகரிஸ் வித் இன் தீஸ் சின்ஃபுல் ஆக்டிவிட்டீஸ். So these details may appear irrelevant, but when we understand these different types of sinful activities, then we get an idea of the extent of the sins committed by the Jagai and Madai. Like another side point which I forgot to tell in the beginning, like for in the chapter on glories of Nityananda Balaram, when Kaviraj Goswami explains that how Nityananda Prabhu is the original Sankarshan, so there Prabhupada suddenly gives us some 15 page purport, 10 or 15 page purport, and where he explains in very great detail refuting the Shankaracharya's commentary in the Vedanta Sutra, where he mentions that Shankarshan is the Jiva, Vasudeva is the Paramatma, Shankarshan is the Jivatma, Pradyumna is the mind, Aniruddha is the senses. So Shankaracharya mentions in his commentary in the Vedanta Sutra. And Prabhupada writes some detailed purport to refute this point, how Shankarshan cannot be counted as the Jiva. So one may wonder, like, why such heavy philosophy and so many quotations are explained over there? Because, as I mentioned in the beginning, to understand the position of Nityananda Prabhu is very important. To mistake Nityananda Prabhu or his expansion, Shankarshan, as a Jivatma is a very great mistake. And therefore, just like Srila Prabhupada has written detailed purport to actually remove the misconception that Shankarshan is not the Jiva. And similarly here, in the Jagai Madai story, to understand the gravity of the sins committed by Jagai and Madai, to make us understand the extent of the sins they have committed, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives a mini thesis on, he writes a mini thesis on the sinful activities. And therefore he gives the details of all these different types of sinful activities. Because this will help us to understand how fallen they were, and that will help us to understand the extent of mercy shown by Nityananda Prabhu towards them. So for example, he says, Ati Pataka. So, there are three sinful activities come under the category of Atipataka. Having sex with one's mother, with one's daughter, with the wife of one's son. Mahapataka consists of killing a brahmana, drinking wine, stealing a brahmana's gold. And Anupataka consists of 19 different types of sinful activities. So, all these different types of sinful activities are mentioned. Upapataka consists of, again, some 20-25 types of different types of sinful activities. And Jati Bramshaka consists of different sins like using a stick or other instrument to injure a brahmana, smelling objects like stool, urine, wine, like, and then the sin of killing domestic or wild animals is called as Sankari Karana. And then like different types of sinful activities are explained. So Jagai and Madai have committed all these types of sinful activities. So when Nityananda Prabhu heard that, then he said that, oh, if these people become devotees, then the glories of fame of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will spread. So the first aspect which we can see in Nityananda Prabhu's mercy to Jagai and Madai is the extent or the magnitude of the mercy shown by Nityananda Prabhu towards them. The quantity or the extent of mercy shown towards them. In fact, when Jagai and Madai became devotees, in the Yamaloka, there was like a separate department, separate section where people were performing 24 hours day duty just to count the sins of Jagai and Madai. And when they came to know, Jagai and Madai became the devotees, Chitragupta and Yamaraj, they became unconscious. You see, Yamaraj, like whenever in the scriptures, when we want to speak about the quality of a gravity of a person, so he will be compared with Yamaraj. So this person is grave like Yamaraj. This person is very sharp in his sense of judgment or a sense of intelligence like Yamaraj. Usually in this world also, have you seen any judges dancing in some party or becoming unconscious? Or judges are seen to be, they are expected to be a little grave in any debate or in the courts like that. So Yamaraj is like the Chakravarti among all the judges. But that Yamaraj, he became so emotional that he became unconscious. So that shows the extent of the sins committed by Jagai and Madai. That shows the extent of the mercy shown by Nityananda Prabhu towards Jagai and Madai. And when we talk about the, what was the intention behind Nityananda Prabhu? What was the motivation of Nityananda Prabhu to show mercy to Jagai and Madai? So sometimes people may want to show compassion. They may want to do, say, social service, selfless activities. But sometimes the inner motivation is so that person becomes famous. There are many people who do social service, but they may be atheists actually. But when we talk about compassion, one is supposed to show compassion as an instrument of the Guru Parampara, as an instrument of the spiritual master Srila Prabhupada. So in the case of Nityananda Prabhu, when he heard about the sins of Jagai and Madai, his motivation was that if these people become the devotees, then the fame of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would spread. So people would take bath when they happen to see Jagai and Madai. But the later, Jagai and Madai, they became so pure, and by seeing Jagai and Madai, people felt as if that they had taken bath in the Ganges. If they become such devotees, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's fame would spread. So therefore, the motivation of Nityananda Prabhu was to spread the fame of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is also, we can see what should be the motivation in showing compassion or in preaching. And and when Nityananda Prabhu, in the story of Jagai and Madai, when Madai actually hit Nityananda Prabhu with that pot, and Nityananda Prabhu said that, shall I stop giving you love just because you have hit me with an earthen pot? So, in this particular scene of this pastime, even though Nityananda Prabhu was hit by Madai, and Nityananda Prabhu shows us, he says that, just because you have hit me, I cannot stop showing you compassion. So therefore the acharyas are saying that akarodha paramananda Nityananda Rai. The same Nityananda Prabhu, when he came as Balaram, who exhibited such anger by dragging the entire Hastinapur to the Ganges when the Kurus disrespected Krishna. The same Nityananda Prabhu, when he came as Balaram, who displayed his anger towards Yamuna by dividing the Yamuna into so many different branches. And the same Nityananda Prabhu as Balaram, who displayed his anger by killing Rukmi in the dice match. And the same Nityananda Prabhu as Lakshman, who exhibited such anger towards Kaikeyi, and as Lakshman, who actually displayed anger towards Sugriva, who forgot the service to Lord Ram, and the same personality in this pastime, in the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, he is exhibiting his compassion towards Jagai and Madai, even when Jagai and Madai hit him. So therefore, this is the highlight of this pastime. And Nityananda Prabhu, he transformed Jagai and Madai in such a way, he not only relieved them from their sinful reactions, but he also eradicated their sinful desires and avidya, the root cause of sin, that is ignorance. And they became, Jagai and Madai became so transformed. Previously, Jagai and Madai would be actually injuring the people. But later, like Madai was so transformed, once he came to Nityananda Prabhu, like, I have committed so many sins. Like, I don't know whom all I have offended. How can I actually perform atonement? So Nityananda Prabhu said that you can perform a service to the people by making ghat. You need a ghat to actually enter the river to take bath. The river is fast flowing, but you need a ghat to enter into the river to take bath. Similarly, scriptures are like the fast flowing river. You need the purports of the acharyas to enter into the fast flowing river of the scriptures in order to get access to them. So he said that, why don't you perform a ghat? Why don't you build a ghat to serve the people of Navadvip? And then he would actually construct a ghat. And then those people who would remember the sins committed by Madai, they would actually throw stones at Madai. And Madai, he would actually take the stone and then he would give that stone to that particular person. Please hit me more because I deserve much more. So this was the extent of transformation displayed by Madai. Like in the story of Mrigari, Mrigari was previously half killing the animals. But by the mercy of Narada Muni, he became so transformed that later, like, he didn't want to step on even an ant. And similarly here, Madai, previously he had committed so much of violence towards the people. But later when he was transformed, he was wanting to be injured by the people and he would give the stones to the people, please hit me even more. So in this way, Nityananda Prabhu completely transformed Jagai and Madai. So therefore, the appearance day of Nityananda Prabhu is a very special day for all the followers of in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Especially these 2 days, the appearance day of Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they are the most important days. So today we discussed, I tried to speak few words in the glorification of Nityananda Prabhu. So thank you very much for your patient hearing. Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Chaitanya Charitamrat ki jai. Srila Nityananda Prabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.